Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, the message is loud and clear that circulates all around the country. We are living in a time when your government says either you comply or die. There's no in between. The corruption rolls on here in Barron County and across the whole country. Anytime that you can find 9 bodies in Lake Michigan and there's no investigation, time that you can find a body with his penis cut off, and his braid was clipped, and the sheriff's department claims there was no foul play, and the last to see the person alive was 2 white police officers. They're sending a message: comply or die. Michael Williams was found in Lake Michigan, the last to see him alive was a white lady, a white man, 2 white police officers. So the word and the action or the inaction is clear: comply or die. It's your choice, they say. See, one of the main problems that we face today is that black people in general, not all of them, but most of them, won't stand up and fight back. Their reason is clear. Unless something happens in my family, I don't care. I just don't care. That's what they say. And for years it has been like this. It wasn't always like this. It was not always like this. And which, what is so amazing is that this has gone on for years. Unchecked. And eventually, something must change. It's the people. We live in a community who really think they're doing better than what they really are. They figure if they got a car, they got a job, paying $7-$8 an hour, and they're living with their mama or living in their mama basement, they're doing good. They would take every dime they have to put these 32s on their car and paint it, which makes no sense to me. But you can only do what you've been taught to do. If you haven't been taught to save money, you have not been taught to do what needs to be done, then you can't do it. So that's what that's all about. It's no mystery when you sit down and think about what's really going on here in our community. I was watching a video showing how the feds, their job is to serve and protect, and how they will set people up for crime. I know I would not have clamped in that truck, but you know, sometimes people are so desperate to have Nike gym shoes, they would do anything. This was a perfect example. A perfect example of what is happening in our community. Amazing. They had this big truck, 18-wheeler, full of gym shoes, Nikes, began when two federal agent trucks, SUVs, was following this truck so they can position this truck in the right location so they can arrest the kids when they go to take the gym shoes out of the truck. Here's what happened. The federal agents that was in the SUV location where the truck should be parked, then the City of Chicago Police Department drove up and pulled this guy over. They talked to him for a few minutes. I could not tell what they were saying or what they was doing. Tell that. But what I did understand, that they brought the guy back to the truck. And it appears that it was a plan to open the truck. And the guy showed him a pair of the new Nikes, the brand new Nikes gym shoes. And right in full view of all the children in Chicago, I'm thinking it was on 59th in Halston. I'm not positive about that, but that was the location of where this happened. They pulled the truck over. He showed them what was in the truck. Showed the kids in the community what was in the truck. And took the gym shoes out. Got in handcuffed. Put them in handcuffs. Right in front of everybody. Leaving the truck open. Leaving the truck open, and they drove off. The cops had surrounded the community. Other young men clamped inside the truck. I'm not condoning that. Now listen to me closely. I'm not condoning the two men clamped into the truck to steal, but it was a setup. They set the poor young man's up. He was passing gym shoes out to all his friends, all the people in the neighborhood, maybe 20, 30 people came and picked up gym shoes. And then, after the truck was almost empty, in the City of Chicago, the police zoomed in and started arresting these young men. That's right. They call it the fake hike because they set these poor young men up for the okey-doke. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we have to go through mess like this. You know, we're a very poor community. We don't, you know, the resources. They got $21 trillion missing that they split among their families. And we have nothing. But anyway, I'm going to bring in my good friend Robert and let him tell us what he thinks about some of this stuff. And let's see where we at. Robert McKay, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Pinkney. I can hear you.
Very, very
yeah,
good.
you.
I was talking about that fake truck with all the Nike gym shoes in it.
Right.
Did you happen to see that video, or did you happen to see that on the news?
I'm right here in the city where that bait truck was set up over in Inglewood.
Yeah.
Set up next to a playground. But you know,
uh-huh.
This is a history. That's the history. They create crimes. You know, it goes. The day you were sentenced, I was outside the courthouse there in Bering County, expressing that you were convicted under the 13th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, that's the abolishment of slavery. It said a person cannot, just to roughly go over it, a person cannot be involuntarily detained unless they're convicted of a crime. So crimes
right.
have been created just for us. I'm sure you're mm-hmm. familiar with reckless eyeballing. At one point, after the emancipation of slavery, black folk they created the crime of reckless eyeballing. It means if you're walking down the street and you're walking towards and especially in the South, you're walking towards a man and his woman, a white man and his wife, and you're looking at him, if you're looking at him, they would charge you with reckless eyeballing and send you to jail.
Yes.
Absolutely. Vagrancy. You're standing on the corner. Vagrancy it was a crime created just for a certain group of people. So this bait truck, even your situation, you didn't commit a crime when you circulated petitions to have the mayor recalled there in Benton Harbor, to have that referendum placed on the ballot. But they went in the courtroom and converted it to a crime, that you had committed a crime. And even the prosecutor said, I don't have any proof that Reverend Pinkney committed this crime. We know he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So
and,
that's
and,
the same
and,
thing
and,
with this.
Yeah. And that's all they need to know. You know, all they need
right.
to know that I think, I believe.
Right. Right. I declare. I declare myself innocent. You know, I feared for my life. I feared for my life, so I declared myself innocent. And that,
mm-hmm.
and that's the kinds of crimes that criminals get away with. They create crimes. They create legal crimes for themselves to be exonerated. You know, a man is running away, or he has his back turned, or he has a wallet in his hand, what it appeared to be an object that was threatening my life. Or you, yourself. The scriptures
mm-hmm.
that you quoted in a newspaper that was brought to the courtroom said that you, Deuteronomy, what, the 15th chapter?
No,
28th chapter.
28, 15th verse, right.
Right. That was a crime by quoting a Bible verse. So crimes are created in the minds or in the halls of the legal system to criminalize a people. When they came here and landed on this land, and the people showed them how to do agriculture, they were so benevolent to them, and then turned around and stabbed them in the back. Well, now they converted them to savages. So it's the same
yeah.
principle that continues on. It's this historical background or MO of this group of people who are doing that. It's not all of them, because I can point out
yeah.
to, you know, people want to talk about, you know, being racist, and we don't have the power to do that. But there was a gentleman, Salmon P. Chase, who was the Secretary of Treasury, who purchased slaves in the South and brought them North and released them, told them you're free. He would have been in line to be the President of the United States, but they told him you can't be President because you're President of the slaves. They knew what he was doing. So,
uh-huh.
so this is this, yeah. So this goes according to groups who have put themselves in position. And they can declare you guilty or declare themselves innocent. That's the whole process. That's it in a nutshell.
Wow. That,
but yeah,
that's amazing.
That bait truck was set up by this company, railroad company, and the police department in an area where they've been clearing it out. They've been destroying the land, dropped guns and drugs in Inglewood, and gentrified it so that Metro railroad system could come through there and clear out that land to put their railroad system in there. There's a major railroad system coming in that area. So the remaining, there's still people there. So to to complete the cleanup process, they brought in this bait truck, which the superintendent, police superintendent here, is black, and he has declared, and I'm sure it was approved by him, and he briefed the mayor on it, and it was perhaps codenamed Chicago Coon Trap. So that way, so they could clean out, finish clearing out Inglewood to bring in so that these it could be redeveloped, gentrified, and with this urban renewal process that's going on. That's the bottom line for it, is to complete the cleanup process and getting these people out of Inglewood so they can come in and finish their project of that flyover.
Wow. Seems like they always got little tricks that they ready to put or implement in the black community, and nobody seems to care about these situations. I saw the video of that bait truck. First I thought it was a fake video. I could right. not believe that the and it looked like the feds may have been with them SUVs. Did you see that part where the two SUVs were following the big truck?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Well, you know, the police departments have been given fundings from Homeland Security. They have military vehicles here. They have tanks. They have armored cars. They have the SWAT team here. You can Google it. Chicago Police Department SWAT vehicle. It'll give you the impression of a military vehicle you find out in Iraq or Afghanistan, but they have it right here in the city. Well, you know, when you when they came to get you the day you you took your wife to the the anniversary, a birthday party,
dinner, and
they sent an armored vehicle.
Armed vehicle and an army. You know, they was armed to the teeth, you know,
right.
and ate, you know, every weapon you could think of they had for little bitty
right.
old me, you know.
Right.
And it,
because
but the,
you circulated petitions.
Right. For little petitions. And they had to know that there was no such charge. You know, I'm not buying that, you know, that if you that stupid, there's no reason in this world you should be a prosecuting attorney. Nobody is that stupid.
That's not stupid. That's diabolical. It is a diabolical, deliberate, malicious plot. This is nothing more than it's a deliberate mechanism they use to clear out the And that Hightower, who's the mayor at the time, he's bought and sold. So
absolutely.
So that's the process.
You know, that young man sold to the devil. You know.
Right.
And you know what? The devil blessed him, but his day is coming. You see, the thing is, you don't live forever.
No.
It's sad that we have black people running around here. Knowing that, you know, what we have gone through, what they have put us
right.
through, and yet still you working with the man against the people and your children.
Right.
See, this is what a lot of people don't get. When you work against me in the city, you're working against yourself and your children too. Well, I just don't get the way these people think. I don't understand the way they think. I don't see how they can do it and be comfortable doing it. I don't understand none of this stuff. This to me is like, wow. You know, it's just too amazing just to think about, you know. And here's something here in the city of Benton. I think I may have spoke to you in reference to this. Our school board is no longer run by a school board. It's ran by a CEO. Now, what public school system brings in a CEO to run their school system? You're telling that the community, educating your children is no longer a top priority. We are a business. And well, the CEO's job is to somehow to make sure that they have some kind of profit. That's his job.
That's the same level, right? That's the same level as an emergency manager. I mean, they take
yes.
away the legitimate government or the legitimate process or policy and procedure, and install something that they have declared. It's a matter of declaration. Declaration of independence, declaration of guilt, declaration of insolvency. You know, anything that is declared, they act on it. That's the process they utilize. I declare
Absolutely.
You guilty. I declare me
yeah.
innocent.
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right,
so,
right.
So that's what it is.
And remember this, too, because when you bring in a CEO and he tells you now, you're only an advisor. You don't vote
right.
on nothing. There's nothing.
Right.
There's you actually, you're just sitting here. All you're doing
collecting
is just sitting here collecting a check and don't say a word. Don't say a mumbling word, because even if you can get mad, it means nothing to us. You know, because you have no power to make no decision in reference to the community you live in, and you bring in somebody who's not from your community to run your school system. Wow. That's,
how do you
that's
combat
amazing.
That? I have a question. Well, how do you combat this?
Well, it's the people. The people got to rise up and say no more. It's a catch 22. Let me explain why. Number one, you could say I don't want my child to be under a CEO in the public school system and not send your child there. Okay? That's one thing you could do. But if you do that, you're playing right into their hands, because number one, they want that land that the high school sit on. So if you don't send your child to the school, it's a win-win situation for them and a lose-lose situation for you. Because I don't want my son or my daughter under a CEO. And okay, if you don't want your son and daughter under CEO, don't send them to the school. If you don't send them to the school, then you give them the power to change, to move the school from its present location out into the township. It's a lose-lose situation for us all the way around. You know, I myself, I would not, if I had my grandchildren going there, they would not go there under a CEO. So what do you do? It's a catch 22. If you send them, you lose. And if you don't send them, you lose. It's a lose-lose situation for the residents of the city of Benton Harbor. We cannot win that battle because of the school board put us in that situation. They put us in a lose-lose situation with the help of the state and Whirlpool Corporation. So that's where the city of Benton Harbor is at. And other than that, I couldn't even tell someone how to fight that. You know, there's no way we can win that battle, you know. And you have to decide what you want to sacrifice. Do I want to sacrifice my children? There's not too many parents willing to sacrifice their children. But in this case, I don't know. You know, I just don't know. Maybe you can enlighten me. Maybe you may have an idea or two. What do you think?
Well, one of the things that, and you said the people, and you're correct in that, but the people are divided today.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that for our community, which has been decimated after slavery,
mm-hmm.
you know, many people don't want to hear that. You know, that was so long ago, but you see 4 and 5 movies come out every year about what Hitler did to the population in Germany. But most of those people are old or they're deceased. But their history is passed on. They understand it. They know what happened to their ancestors who've gone. Our ancestors, we're told that, you know, this is just a happenstance. No, it was so far back, so far reaching, don't even consider that. But we, in order to combat this, the people must come together. It has to come from all groups. I mean, you look at the white population, they're being decimated. They have the methamphetamine, the Oxycontin. They had a flight going from Tennessee, Kentucky down to Florida to pick up the drugs, Oxycontin. They call it the Oxycontin Express. So,
yes.
So those communities, it's a plan to of gentrification, of genocide, population reduction, and we're being taken off the planet every day. You know, eventually it's going to be viruses and illnesses that will create a mass hysteria that will wipe out perhaps millions of people at one time, because they already stated that the planet can survive with just over 500,000 people, or is it 500 million? 500 million, because we have billions now. So to eliminate that amount of people is going to take a mass elimination execution process in order to make that happen. And they're doing it. They're testing with AIDS, with Ebola, with all these various, the Zika virus, the one that the mosquitoes are carrying, West Nile, I mean, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're weaponizing so many different areas. And for the people to understand this, but we're so distracted. We're tied up with the hysteria of movies, music. You know, you're distracted with sports. Everybody's at the sports arena, not thinking about. Well, they want to hear that. They want to hear what the next score, the highest score, is going to be. So until we can get the people's attention, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And remember this: most people would never believe that this country would do something so foul. Why would they want to destroy billions of, and anything that's bad that's happening in this world today is led by this country right here. All the wars that's going on. There's so many wars going on that the people here, they have no idea that, you know, that the United States is fighting in so many different wars on so many different fronts. They have no idea. They don't even know that behind all the bad days, the Ebola, all the diseases, that this country is behind all this stuff. They would never, if you want the fight, put something like that on Facebook and watch how people attack you because you have the information that this country is doing it. And here's a shameful thing. Even the war in Afghanistan, they whooping this country butt over there. They spanking their booty. But you can't tell the residents, even some of the veterans, that the United States is losing another war. See, they don't want to hear that. They say this is the greatest country there is in the whole wide world. I mean, what's great about it? You know, people don't quite understand the reason why it's great, only because you said it was great. You know, other people don't say it's great. We walk around here, you got people walking around talking about how great this country is and stuff like that. You know, they have a history of violence. The way they did the slaves, bringing them over here. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm going to let you finish up. You were going ahead.
Just to point out,
8 months ago, the young doctor up there at the CDC in Atlanta, Timothy Cunningham, stated that this flu vaccine is killing people.
Yeah.
And he said people he had administered that flu vaccine to had died. He said, I don't know about you, but this scares the crap out of me. And he came up missing a few weeks later. They killed him.
Right.
They found his body floating in the river. This was a doctor at the CDC now. And he exposed, they expressed that that vaccine is killing people, but they don't want you to know that. That's another form of genocide, gentrification, right?
Yeah, and they use the media. They use the media for all this stuff. You know, you can't talk about certain things. See, they don't even know that this government have what they call a killer squad to go around killing people.
Okay.
They don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have a clue that this government is doing. I'm talking about here in the United States of America. They got a squad that they send out and kill people. And, they talk about Russia attempted to kill. So this country is no worse. They talk about the Russians spliced into the voter. That's the same thing they've been doing for years. They've been doing the same thing for years. And how naive can people be? And look, the people in the United States are not the smartest people in the world, but they're the treacherous people there is in the world. They will sacrifice their own mama. They will sacrifice their own mama for any objective that satisfies them, that will put money in their power, in their pocket, and power. This is what they do here in these United States of America.
Right. All for one, one for all. One for all. Sacrifice,
yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And remember, don't forget, whatever you do, to stand for the flag. Put your hand over your heart. That flag is so bloody, it's dripping with blood. Even when they make a brand new one, it's just dripping with blood. All the innocent people that this country had killed and stuff like that, you know. And you was in the Vietnam War. You know how that went. That was a situation. Yeah, that was amazing to me. And we won't stand up and admit the truth. When people start telling the truth, it's a whole different attitude, Robert. The truth will stand. The truth don't need no crutch. The truth will stand up against anything. And what we're dealing with today is that we have a bunch of liars who paint the truth to be what they want the truth to be. And the bad part, the people accept it. Wow. That's amazing. You know what they're saying is not true, but yet you don't defile it or anything. You allow it to continue. You allow the lie to grow. That's what you do. And get legs and run around the country. Amazing. You know, no, I had spoke about earlier before you came on, before I introduced you and everything, about here in Barron County, about all the bodies. I was approached yesterday by this guy. I was down at my church, and he said, "I've been trying to get in touch with you. I wanted you to he had tried before, me and him talked before, and they made him into be a nut. One of the guys, Eric McGinnis, he saw the group of men chasing him into Lake Michigan. And they went in after him. But they know who he is, but they won't interview him. He asked for immunity. And now my question to him yesterday was, why would you need immunity? You know, were you part of that? You know, he said, "Well, I want to talk about that. You know, only thing I want to tell you, what they said happened didn't happen." He said the young man did not try to swim across Lake Michigan. He was saying that he was beaten, and then he was unconscious when they placed him in the water. And I said, he said he told the prosecutor that all of the three. He showed Sherry, who's dead now. He showed Carter, who's a judge now. And he showed this slime ball, Mike Sepik. He told him the other. He said within the last month or so that about what happened, and he said he didn't want to hear it. And of course they don't want to hear it. What do you expect? I said, do you expect them to, because they may have been part of it. You know, a lot of times these folks, they be part of things and also participate in things that goes on and it's never come out to the open. But anyway, one of the guys, Bulldog, right? To me, this is the one that stands out to me because the last two people to see him alive was two white police officers. And they found him 3 weeks later in the water the night he came up missing. They found him 3 weeks later with his penis cut off and a braid. And the first thing came out of their mouth was that there was no foul play. Now, I can accept if he had a couple of bruises on his head, that, you know, maybe something, and while he was in the water, maybe a tree stump floating down the river plucked him in the head or something. Somebody maybe didn't know he was down there, threw something, hit him in the head. But to tell me that his penis was cut off and his braid was cut off and there's no foul play, I got a problem with that one. That's the one, the main one, that really got me thinking and got me rolling. Because I believe that we as the people, but it's, see, the thing is, it's not my family. And it's not the guy next door family. It's not the family on the other side of me. It's not their family. So guess what? They don't really care. I don't care if his penis was cut off. It wasn't my relative, so I'm going to accept what these hypocrites say and let it go. That's what's going on today. Can you believe it? That is what's happening today here in America, and the sad part, we are accepting it. So, Robert, I tell you, how do we fight back against situations like this? What do we do? I know the people in Chicago, they have their issues, they have their problems, but that's a horse with an entirely different color. I believe that there are federal agents in Chicago that's armed and going around instigating these killings and also maybe even pulling the trigger. I believe that. And if until someone proves me wrong, I'm going to say that is what's happening. I know about the guns and all this kind of stuff. Let's talk about Chicago since you live there. How do you stop, or how do you get help to stop all the killing that goes on in the city of Chicago?
Well, you know, this is a thing that's been going on from time in the beginning. Until we can get people to wake up, the communities have been divided. I was on earlier today here. There's a church group in Atlanta who's going into the park across the street from the White House and to protest. You know, because they were talking about the church at one point was a instrument, a tool for the community. It was outspoken, but I pointed out that the church's tongue has been cut out. There's no. You know, the church is a silence because the pastors have been bought off not to express any disagreement or any kind of dissension against injustice. And when you have that and everyone is just told to just go out and vote, in the meantime, your community is decimated to the point where it almost doesn't exist. But the argument that needs to be brought out, and I continue to say this, the 1968 release of the Kerner Commission report in 1967, when President Johnson was under the impression, I'm sure he was influenced by J. Edgar Hoover, that the communists were influencing the riots across the country. You know, and right there in Michigan, where you are, Detroit had one of the major riots that took place and tore Detroit up, but they and you know Detroit was a mecca for the job industry, for the auto industry. But
that's
gone
right.
Now because they've eliminated that. And that's a deliberate process because they can make cars cheaper. They can, but back to Chicago here, this is something that we studied, and it's not only in Chicago. It's connected around the same thing that's going in Chicago is going on there in Benton Harbor. And you know,
yes.
All the homes that have been taken away, and they said some of those homes are in move-in quality, but they put people in mortgages or financing that they cannot keep up with the payments, so they take the people out of the homes. Here in Chicago, where the communities have been decimated because these lands where many of these older homes were, some places you can look miles and see vacant land. It's like they're in Detroit. They said Detroit's for blocks, miles, you can see nothing but in vacant land. Because every Halloween, I know there was they call it burn night or some, they would start fires in homes across Detroit. And it was a night to burn houses down or burn buildings down there in Detroit. Same thing happened
buildings.
Here.
Right.
Yeah, same thing happened here in Chicago. But Chicago is more stabilized by its downtown and other affluent communities. You know, you have Peel Hill, Beverly, some places in Chatham, Hyde Park. They're all stabilized, so that continues to support this whole process while they rebuild the communities that they want to tear down. Lawndale, Woodlawn, Inglewood. Roseland, those communities that have been decimated, and they're rebuilding them and gentrifying the people out of Chicago to other areas. You know, Chicago was deemed the number one corrupt city in the world, I believe. And in this country, we know that Illinois is the number three state, the most corrupt state, and the third corrupt state in the country. Chicago's number one city, and Illinois is the number three state. So with that, there should be, and because states have been granted states' rights again, the federal government is deemed to move in because of public corruption, but they're not doing that. Even when you call them, the public corruption occurred where you are. They committed a conspiracy of fraud. Conspiracy is a crime. There was a conspiracy to get you incarcerated, convicted, arrested, convicted, and incarcerated for a crime that was never committed. You did not commit a crime of falsifying the petitions that they claimed you did. Prosecutor said he didn't have proof of it, but you were convicted anyway. They declared you guilty. So that's what I'm saying when I said declarations. Everywhere that you find that they want to make something in their favor, they declare it. I declare myself innocent. I declare you guilty. So here in Chicago,
saying,
same process is going on, right?
Comply or die. That's the message that they're sending. And either way, they win. It's a win-win situation for them.
Right.
You got, and if you don't comply, you must die. There's no recourse for the people, and there's a reason behind that, because we're so divided up. Any time that you find not just a group of people, a whole race of people, you know, we have a few people that actually spent speaking out, and I talk about the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons. Them people, they got a whole different motive, you know. They're motivated by something other than the people. And, you know, money is their motivation. And anytime that you surround yourself with people who have other objections, and I love the way the people in Ferguson, Missouri, how they deal with this thing, how they have reached out, and how they have formed unity among themselves. And, here's something that's important. When I was in St. Louis, they're building a spy building to spy on all the people, not only in these United States, but in the world, right in St. Louis, Missouri, which was so amazing. The work on that building, you have to have a clearance. You see, you have to, matter of fact, they only hire, so most of the people that work on this building are white folks, you see, and their people, you know, and they the only one who can work on building this spy network that they're going to have in St. Louis, Missouri, to spy on everybody. See, it's no different than this Russian gate that they call it. It's all this stuff is designed to distract you from really what's going on in the world today. They don't want you to be able to think for yourself. All this fake news that they have, that's all it is. It's nothing but fake news. And every once in a while, they slip something past us. It'd be inside the fake news, you see. But you have to be listening to understand that they got that one through on us. So that's what we're really dealing with, and that's what we need to know. You know, we shouldn't be concentrating on this Russian gate. We shouldn't be this. We know that they are the ones who elect the president and stuff like that. The people really don't. But the idea that, but you still must get out and vote. Get out there, you know, at least do it, even if it doesn't mean nothing. I think that my thing is that I'm going to do it anyway, just to say in my heart that I did the right thing. That's how I look at it, because I know that they got all kind of tools to distract you. Even the machine you put your vote in, you vote for, let's say for instance, you vote for Harry Carter, and Nick Carter is running. Nick Carter gets your vote. You know, they can do it. They can do it with a computer. You know, that computer is a monster. And what they're doing is simply telling they can do anything they want. I saw the other day where the Russians had a satellite that gave birth to a baby satellite, and then that satellite gave birth to another satellite, and one of them was a war satellite that this country didn't know about. I said, wow. I said, even that is a distraction. So we're living in a time where we got to learn how to stand together, fight together, and win together. And the only way we win is that we fight back. See, if we continue like the way we are, we can be united and get wiped out, because they're going to have the equipment to wipe us out. You see, they know, now think about this. They want it to be about 500 million people on Earth. We got over 6 billion people. So that's a lot of killing. So what are they going to do with all the bodies? Use it for fertilizer? They got to figure out a way what they can do to keep from stinking up the Earth when they get rid of most of the bodies. So that's what we're hitting at. And that's where we're going. And it's just so amazing when you sit down and think about it and how we're sleeping. We're asleep, Robert.
We
are asleep. And we think we're doing better than what we're actually doing. We really think that we're doing something. We really think that we got it going on. And like I said earlier, if you got a job, you got a car, and you're living in your mama's basement, you think you got it going on. That's the only thing you care about. You don't care about nothing else.
Right.
We got to start caring. We got to start building for the future. We got to start taking care of our children. We got to deal with this thing, or we got to realize it's more of us than them, you see, before they come up with a solution for that, you see. That divide and conquer is going to get old, you see. It's going to get old. So we have to start planning, just like they're planning. They're being paid with our dollars You know, and think about this. The Pentagon, $21 trillion missing. How do you misplace $21 trillion? I can see me misplacing $10, but $21 trillion? And nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. Nobody want to hear about stuff like that. Nobody want to hear that our government is corrupt. Nobody want to hear that our government is a group of murderers. Nobody want to hear about anything on that nation. They being sidetracked with this Russian gate and all this kind of stuff. Stuff that, you know, we know they've been doing this stuff for years. This is just didn't come up, you know. But unfortunately, now the media is talking about it. We got to start figuring out a way how we're going to start working together, living together, fighting together, standing together, and moving this thing to a whole different level. Things that we can do, and we can do it. That's to me, we can win. I don't see us losing, but they got us so divided up that we don't even know which way is up. Yeah. Right. So my thing is this. The book, The Choice, is a good book that people should read. I know you read that book. I read some of that book. But that book also talk about the Kerner Report, which is one of your pet peeves. You love the Kerner Report. And the other day, I heard someone speak on the Kerner Report, and which was really got my attention because I always hear you talking about the Kerner Report. And he said if they would follow the Kerner Report, things would be different here in America, especially for people of color. They said if they just follow it. And they say it's so simple to follow. You see, the problem is it's not really the black people. They said the problem is it's the white people that live here, the bad ones. Now we got good ones. We got to say that we got good ones, but we got a lot of bad ones. I know when I was in prison, this lady wrote me a devastating letter that really shook me out of all the mail I got. I got over 20,000 letters. But this letter stood out because she was from St. Joseph, Michigan, one of the most racist communities in the whole wide world. And she said it. She said what I have been saying for 20 years. I've been saying this thing for 20 years over and over again. She said 33% of all the white people that lives in St. Joseph and Berrien County, Michigan are good people, excellent people. She said they are great people. She said, but 67% of the people that live in St. Joseph, Berrien County, Michigan are racist. And this was a very wealthy young lady. And she said, this is it. She said, they are racist people. And the reason why this happened, the 67% overpowers the 33% that are good. And the 33% refused to speak up because the 67%, and that was her message. She wrote me a letter like that in prison. And it was so, out of all the mail I received, that was, to me, the letter that stuck in my mind. Because she was saying things that I have been saying for years. She was saying things that people should know. You know, somebody needs to step to the plate and just tell the truth. You know, people are so afraid and so intimidated of the truth. You know, like, the truth doesn't need anything. It could stand by itself. And that's what we have to understand. you know, when you hear that Trump talking, we know that he's going to lie, because that's what he is. He's a liar. He's a natural liar. That's what he knows. He knows that well, and he articulated well, and he don't mind lying. He will lie, and you can catch him in a lie, and he will repeat the same lie over and over and over again. Then he'll have somebody come out and say, well, he didn't mean it that way. Well, what way did he mean his lie to be? Explain that to us. He's a natural liar. And he's a racist, which the girl said, well, she, I don't even want to get into that, because that's a little bit too much for me right at this time. But we got to do better. Robert, until we do better, we're going to continue on the same level that we are on right now. Because really, we just don't get it. We don't quite understand what's going on around us. We got people who works with them against themselves. I know people probably don't understand that, but we actually got people, black people. We got an all-black city council. Rather than work for themselves and their children and the community, they work against themselves, their children, and the community for the evil, wicked empire. And they think it's all right. Wow. They believe that it's okay. I don't know what planet they live on, but it's not okay. They think when they take from me and you, they don't realize they take from themselves and their children. And these people, they got everything you could think of. They got all the money they want, but they're not satisfied with just the money. They want you. They want to destroy you also. And they're going to use people of color to destroy people of color. But, yeah, amazing. And, you know, maybe one day that we will wake up and, how they say, and smell the smoke. I don't know whether we will or we won't. Focus. I got to do what needs to be done. And long as I'm doing the right thing, I'm not concerned about doing the wrong thing, because that's the farthest thing from my mind. And the community is to me, is it. Well, listen, we got about 90 seconds. Give me your final thoughts in these 90 seconds. Robert.
I'm listening.
I want you to give me your final thoughts.
Well, my final thoughts is at some point, the strategy is how do we gather the people together to disseminate this information to them? Because we can say people must rise up, stand up. But until we can show the people where they need to rise up, as long as they're pacified with new CDs coming out of Black Panther movie, and everybody goes and then they come out, they're satisfied. And then we're still in the same position or worse than when we went in there. So it's going to take a continual concentrated effort to educate people, let them know that and show them. Is the examples are going to happen. You yourself is an example. This is what happened to me and with the prison for a crime that they finally determined by the Supreme Court that never took place. So this is what has to be done. Education to enlighten the people, to make them aware of what's up. You could be next.
Yeah. And you said the magic word. You can be next.
Right.
And stop thinking it could never happen to you. If it happened to me, it can happen to you. Right. All right. My man, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate you. And, you know, we got to have a very, very tremendous conversation. And the final word is either you comply or you die. There's no in between.
Okay.
Comply or die. Thank you so much for listening. Have a very, very nice, same time next week, same time, same station. Have a beautiful Sunday. God bless you.
You too.